Welcome to another inspirational My Church podcast. We hope that this message will bless and encourage you. To find out more about My Church, including locations and service times, please visit livelove.ca. You guys well? Some of you are well, and by the end of this, hopefully all of you will be. I love church. In case you are new with us this morning and you're realizing there's a whole bunch of crazy people who love church, this is what we do. And Sundays for us are honestly a whole lot of fun. And so hopefully over the next, about 5 hours or so as I preach, we're going to have some fun and we're going to laugh a little bit. But we're also going to talk about some incredible truths that I'm believing are going to speak to you. And here's the thing that I know about God, and here's the thing that I love about gathering on a Sunday is that whatever it is your context is, because all of our stories are different, all of our contexts are different, God always has something for you. He's got something specific to your life and your situation, and that's just how good God is, okay? So I would encourage you this morning, as we always use, to lean in and to listen for what it is that God wants to say, because I believe he wants to speak to you this morning. And we're going to have some fun this morning. And you know what? It's great to be back in ACT. Honestly, we love all the crew here. They honestly feel like family. Glenn up on the soundboard. A hidden hero back there, I tell you. He makes it sound good. I tell you what, it's awesome. But hey, we're going to dive into things this morning. And we're going to read from the book of Matthew. My book. I didn't write it, but you know, I'm named after the guy in the Bible named Matthew, so I just have a little bit of affection for this book. But today, what I want to do is I want to talk to us about our calling and our purpose as followers of Jesus. So let's read this together. Matthew 5 says this: "Let me tell you why you're here." Does anyone want to know why you're here? Anyone want to know purpose behind your life? I don't know about you, but I definitely do, and I think that still the number one Google question of all time is, why am I here? Closely followed, obviously, by "Is Tupac dead?" Yeah, he's probably watching from Cuba right now, okay? But why are we here? So Jesus, this is Jesus talking in this passage, and he just gets right to the point. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to beat around the bush. Let me get right to it. "Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and you'll end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We are going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand now. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine." Anyone grow up in church? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine? Yeah, okay. Shine, Jesus, shine. That's the other one. We're going back, man. Anyways, shine. "Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven." How good is the Bible? I mean, that right there, we could just wrap it up and go home, but we're not going to, okay? Today, I've titled this message, if you're taking notes, and I'd love for you to, because on the way out, some of the guys are going to ask you how many notes you took, and if you didn't take enough, you have to come back. So it's a joke. You should laugh. Anyways, this message, I've entitled, "I'm the One." I'm the One. Why don't you turn to someone beside you, give them an elbow, and say, "You're the One." And if you happen to be single, and this person beside you is single, you're welcome. You can get some numbers. Just make it fast, okay? We got some preaching to do. But you're the one, or I'm the one. Today, I want to talk about calling, because I really do believe that it's so important that we understand, as followers of Jesus, as Christians, what it is our calling is. See, calling, if you don't know, calling in the Bible, it really honestly is synonymous with purpose. What is the purpose? What is the reason? Why are you here? What is our calling? Well, I really believe that this passage holds secrets for us to understand what it is our calling is. And so today, we're going to dive into it, but before we do, why don't we pray and ask God to speak to us? Amen? Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for honestly, just your church, God. Thank you that we are able to gather here this morning and to hear from you, to worship you, God. And this morning, I pray that you'd speak to each and every single one of us. God, I pray that you'd help us have ears to hear, God. You'd help us to see you a little bit clearer, to see what it is that you're doing in our lives, God, to see what it is that you've called us to, God. Thank you, Jesus, that you have given us a purpose. You've not left it mysterious for us, God, but that you have given us a clear calling. And Lord Jesus, we know that it is your will that the Senators would win the Stanley Cup next year. So I actually pray for that right now, and that, you know, those guys from Pittsburgh, Lord, you know what? You would bless them, but they would never win again. Amen. Amen. Anyone agree with me? It's all good. I say that jokingly, but I am actually serious. Does anyone else love summer? Anyone love summer? Good, because if you know, you don't love summer, you should give your head a shake, because summer is God's time, okay? And in Canada, let's be real, we don't get a lot of actual summer. This year, I feel like we've had about 2 weeks of real summer where you walk outside and you go, whoo, it's sweaty. But summer, I love summer. Summer is, you know, it's time for the cottage, it's time to be on a lake, and it's time for a vacation for a lot of us. And a couple weeks ago, we had a chance to get away to a cottage and go on a vacation. We got up into Campbell's Bay, Quebec, and got on a lake, and it was a lot of fun. And you know, the thing I love about summer is just being able to be outside. And obviously, there's nature and all that kind of stuff. I don't really do nature, though. You know what I mean? Like, I'm very much a city kid. Like, we went out to the cottage, and I was like, man, we're roughing it. This is crazy. There's no Wi-Fi. What is that? Like, I can't Instagram. Like, I kid you not, if we ever wanted to check Instagram, which I tried not to, but I still did because it's addictive. And there's, like, one spot in the house that it worked, and everywhere else it didn't work. And I was like, God, why have you forsaken us? You know what I mean? It was crazy, but it was a lot of fun, and the thing about this cottage is that it's right on a lake, but it's kind of like raised up a little bit, and so there's a staircase that went down to get down to the dock, and obviously, if you're going to be at a cottage, you have to spend as much time as possible on a dock. You just have to. You have to get tanned. I was basically as white as this shirt, and I knew I was preaching, and so I had to get tanned so that you could actually define where the shirt ends and I start. But anyways, okay. I digress. So we were at the cottage, and this is the thing about the cottage. The stairs that came up to take you from the cottage down to the dock housed a snake den underneath it. We discovered this a few days in, and Judah, we were up there with Pastor Caleb and Julie and their family, and Judah's like, hey, look, a snake. And all the girls were like, oh, my gosh, this is crazy. My wife was standing on the landing at one point, and the snake popped up between her legs, and was like, hey. I was like, ah! She freaked out. So obviously, you know, I was like, this is not okay. This is an injustice that needs to be righted. I am the one who's going to rise up and, I mean, after some convincing, obviously, get the snake and whatever. I'm going to get my inner Steve Irwin and be like, look at this beautiful creature, you know, and whatever. Like, oh, crikey, you know. So obviously, I had enough. At one point, I stood up and said, I've had enough with these God-created snakes in this God-created cottage. I'm going to do something about it. Samuel L. Jackson joke. Hopefully you got it. If you didn't, then you're saved. And if you're not, then we'll pray for you. But so anyways, I just felt like I was the one. I had to do something about it. I just felt like, you know what? I gotta catch a snake because, you know what? They're dangerous. They were not poisonous. Obviously, we live in Canada. If we were in Australia, that would really kill you. This thing was like, it was like this long. You know what I mean? It was terrifying. But, you know, honestly, I honestly felt like I had to do something about it. And I know this is a silly example of what we're talking about when we're trying to relate, you know, garter snakes to the call of God. But the reality is, I'm sure you've had moments in your life where you've just felt like, I got to do something. I've got to be the one to do something about this. And looking around and knowing that you're the one that has to do something about it. Well, this is the thing. I believe that God has called each and every single one of us to do something about the things in our world. Things like injustice, things like people who don't know him. You know what? Honestly, if I was a Southern preacher and I was like, you know what? God has called us to step on the serpent's head. Amen. Come on, somebody. God has victory for you over the darkness. Come on, everybody. He wants to use you right here, right meow. Every time you step out, God has something for it. But that's not who I am, so I'm not going to do that for you. You know, or I could go T.D. Jakes and say, the Lord, you know, really deep. It's not even that impressive when I do that. That's how, anyways, it's all good. But the truth is, okay, God has given you a calling, that you are the one that can fulfill what God has for you on your life. And I believe this passage that we just read actually gives us some insights into what that is, that God uses people. Notice Jesus didn't say, there's a few of you. He says, I'm sending all of you. You, all of you, are called to be salt and called to be light. God has always used people. He's in the business of using people. He's in the business of using men and women to share the gospel, to spread the gospel. For over 2,000 years, that's exactly what the mission of the church has been. And the church has literally been the people that said, hey, we're the ones with the hope of the world, knowing Jesus, right? We're the ones who know that there is more to life than just getting a job and going to school and all this different stuff. We're the ones, and we got to share it with people. So God has always used people. And I guess the question I'm asking today is, why couldn't God use you? Why couldn't he use you? I really believe God has used, you know, more messed up people in more obscure places with less resources to do crazier things for the kingdom of God. We live in an age where, honestly, there are so many opportunities for us to be the ones that are bringing hope, to be the ones that are sharing healing, to be the ones that are saying, hey, listen, God has a purpose for your life. And I want to
just honestly implore us today to get this revelation that that is, in fact, our calling. That God has called us to be the ones. He's not just called the person sitting beside you. He's not called, you know, just so-and-so over there. He's called you to reach people uniquely in your sphere, in your workplace, in your school, and in your family. You are the one. I am the one. God uses people. I'll prove it to you. Joshua 1 verse 6. God says, be strong and courageous. Sorry. Wow, I can't speak. Be strong and courageous. I was homeschooled. Give me some grace. For you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land that I swore to their ancestors. 1 Samuel 16, 12. The Lord said to Jesse, this is the one, speaking of David, anoint him. Listen, because of what Jesus won for us on the cross, now you and I are the one. Jesus turns around and says, all right, because I won, now you're the one. You can go out. I'll prove it to you again. Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, Kanata, Barhaven, South Keys, and even Orleans. Praise God. And to the ends of the earth. And I believe far beyond that. Listen, God didn't give, notice what he said, to the ends of the earth. Our call is not limited to this theater. It's not limited to this city. It's not limited to this nation. You and I have been given a call from heaven that is to reach people wherever they are with the love and the grace of God. And I think that it's time that we remember that we're the ones that God has sent. That God's not waiting for some, you know, second Messiah to come on the scene. He said, no, I've actually given it to you. I want you, ordinary, everyday, average people, to be light bearers and to carry my light and my life into every sphere of life. You and I are the ones. And this is why I really believe that we don't have an option to settle down as Christians, right? This isn't just a phase or a fad for us. This is eternal. It's eternity hanging in the balance. And God has given us the incredible, incredible privilege of swinging eternity in favor of heaven. How crazy is it that God has said, yeah, I want to use you? It's like, God, do you know me? He's like, yeah, I do. I made you. He's like, oh, yeah, right. I remember that. That was pretty cool. I was there. God chooses us. That's the most incredible thing about this. And this is where we're gonna go into this, because I really believe that it's important that we realize that this call is not something that we chose. This is something that chose us. God chose you uniquely. That now, right here in history, this is the time that God has chosen you to live. That this is the place that he's giving you to live. That you are the one that he wants to use. And I really honestly believe that he has something for us. And this is why we can't settle down and just think, you know what, it's fine. I'm going to wait until the next big thing comes out in Christianity or whatever it is to get behind it. I'm not going to settle down, though. This is the thing. We can't settle down as Christians about people who don't have hope. We can't settle down about people who are walking through life broken, not realizing that there's more. We can't settle down about people who are sick and who don't understand that there's a healer in heaven. We can't settle down about people who think that hate is the answer. Come on, we can't settle down about this. We got to be louder than ever as the church and say, listen, there's a God in heaven who created each and every single one of us, who loves each and every single one of us, and I'm the one who's going to do something about it. Come on, somebody. We got to get this on the inside of us, that we are the ones. And I came to remind somebody today that God wants to use you. Not only can he use you, but he wants to. He desires to. Maybe you've been lied to say that, you know what, God can't use me. I'm too messed up. I'm too broken. I don't know enough or whatever it is. Well, listen, I don't know where that lie crept in, but I came to remind you that God said, I can use anyone and everyone, and I want to, that I'm sending you out. And actually, he never said, I'm sending a few of you out. He said, I'm sending you all, every single one of you. Ephesians 2 says it like this. It says, God is using us all in what he's building, irrespective of how we got here. Isn't that incredible that God says, you know what, I want to use you. I want to use you to bring change to that government office that you work in. I want to use you to raise up children who are going to be the next world leaders. I want to use you to impact people at your school. I want to use you to get into the places in the world where, you know, maybe a sermon like this may never get, but I want you to use your life as a living testimony that I am good, but I'm real. How crazy is that, guys? This is the craziest thing that God is calling us to do. He's calling us just to say, you know what, God, I trust you. I trust that you can use me. If you used more messed up people in the past, you can use me to do something crazy, because I believe that God has something significant for you to do, and he has somewhere significant for you to go. This is, honestly, this is the reason why we even exist as a church, is to let people know about the crazy love and crazy grace of God in every facet. This is our calling. This is why Pastor Caleb and Julie, about almost seven years ago now, stood up and said, you know what? There's still people in our city that need to know about God. I'm going to be the one to go and tell them. I'm going to be the one that each and every single week to make a space for them to hear about who God is. And this is the thing. This might be something where at the end of it, you're like, wow, that's so great. Man, I'm going to tweet about that. Here's the thing. This isn't just something that we want to tweet about. This is what we want to be about. As a church, we want to be about making sure that we go and reach people, realizing that God can use us. Just imagine the impact. Okay, God or Jesus in you know, humanly form chose 12 crazy messed up dudes and it shook up the entire world. What could he do with a few hundred people in Ottawa, Canada, the capital of our nation? What could he do if we just simply said, you know what? I'm going to be the one to stand up. I'm going to be the one to go into work and realize that there's a purpose on my life, and I'm going to be the one to speak up and encourage someone. I'm going to be the one when someone says, man, I really need such and such. I'll help you. I'm going to be the one. Because Jesus said, you are the one. That is our calling. What an incredible calling it is. It's not just something that, like I said, we want to tweet about. We want to be about it. So here's my question then. Why do we, because I do this all the time. This is why, I say this, because it feels like on a Sunday, sometimes you can come and you get real inspired, right? And you're like, yes, that's amazing. I'm the one. Woo. You know, DJ Khaled's like, yeah, I'm the one. Yeah. By the way, he stole it from Jesus. Okay, it's whatever. Anyways. Whatever. Okay, so listen. That can happen, and then Monday rolls around, and you're like, no, I'm not the one. God can't possibly use me. I'm feeling pretty discouraged today. God can't possibly use me. Like, man, I work. Like, do you know where I work? It is not a fun place to work. Do you know what my kids are like? I don't have kids, but I've seen people with kids, so I can just assume that's something that you would say, that they're crazy or whatever. Like, I don't know. My parents had 6 of them, so they must be pretty good. I don't know. Anyway, but you know what I'm saying? Do you know? And somehow we get discouraged. And why is it that we start to disqualify ourselves? Why is it we start to think, you know what? What are some of those reasons? Well, sometimes we start to think, God, you know, I'm not the one because of what I've done. Because of our past. You think, you know what? God, that's all well and good for those people who grew up in the church. But I've only been at this whole following Jesus thing for like 3 weeks. So, and I have the whole past thing to work out. I've done a whole lot of weird stuff. God, you couldn't possibly use me. God never said that, though. He never said, hey, there's a probationary period with the gospel. It's about, 7 to 8 years, depending on how well you pray. And after that, you can just, yeah, you're right on good. I can use you. No. As soon as you and I become followers of Jesus, God instantly says, yes, now I can use you. You have a light of the world. That's crazy. Maybe for you, you start to think, well, you know what? I don't know enough yet to be used by God. I don't know my Bible enough. I don't even know, like, when Pastor Caleb's up there rhyming off scriptures, like, it's a rap verse, I don't even understand. He's like, Acts 14. Whatever, I can't go. Colin will do it next week. You know what I mean? You're like, I don't understand. I don't know my Bible enough. Well, there's good news for you, because in the book of Acts, Peter and John got up in front of an entire city, preached the gospel. 3,000 people got saved. The whole city stopped its daily operations, and the leaders of the city said, oh, we can see that you've been with Jesus, because these are unschooled, ordinary men. In other words, they were just like, these guys are clearly not educated. You know what I mean? How crazy is it that God can use unschooled or homeschooled, ordinary men to do crazy things for him, right? You don't need to know all that there is to know, because if you did, you'd be waiting until eternity to know everything before you did anything. God's just saying, go in the strength that you have. Go with what you have, and I'm going to use you. You don't need to know everything before you go. Maybe for you, you think, well, I don't know what I would say. I'm not a words person. I'm more like, I don't know how to, be eloquent with my words, as I am clearly being right now. I'm just stumbling over my words. I don't know what I would say. Well, Matthew 10 says, go, and the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. How crazy. God's literally covered every excuse that we could disqualify ourselves with, and he's like, yeah, I got that covered. Just like God. It's like, dang it, God, you leave me with no choice but to be used by you. But how incredible is it that he wants to use us? Maybe for you, you think, okay, that's amazing. This is a great message. I'm going to slip that in my back pocket. It's not the time for me right now. I'm not in that season to be used by God. Well, here's the thing. God never put a season on it. He said, you have a reason But there's not just a season, that in every season, in the seasons when you are most defeated, he can use you. In the seasons when you feel the most encouraging, he can use you. In the seasons where you don't even know, honestly, like you're like, God, I don't even know if you're real, he can still use you. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, yeah, it's not the time for me to serve. Maybe you're thinking, oh, you know what? It's not the time for me to be used by God because, well, I don't know, maybe I'm too old or I'm too young. God never put any limitations on it. He just said, if you're available, I am capable. If you're available, if you'll just simply put your hand up and say, all right, sweet, I'll show up to team night. I can do something. I can stand on the front doors. I can shake hands. I can smile. I can encourage someone in my workplace. I can, you know, whatever. I can invite people to church. I can send a message. I can drive people. I'm available. God can use you. It's not a matter of time in that sense of it not being the right time. If you are available, God is capable to do more than you think that he is. Maybe for you, you think, okay, listen, this is awesome, but I need to get my life together first. Well, hey, if that really was the qualification for being used by God, then all of us should go home. Okay, the worship team, not qualified. Me, not qualified. Production team, love you, but you're not, like, we are not, like, everybody is messed up. The entire qualification for even following Jesus in the first place is to say, I'm screwed up. I'm messed up. I'm broken. I don't have it all together. So why should we let the devil trick us into thinking, not today, devil, that, you know what I mean? That we have to have something put together, that we have to have our life together, we have to have our finances in order, or have a newer car, or whatever it is, whatever the thing is for you, that we have to wait till we have something together before God can use us. Simply not true. God can use you. What about this? Maybe you think, okay, God, I want to be used by you, but I'm not a people person. What do I do? That is why God invented Facebook. Just kidding. He didn't invent Facebook. But how good is Facebook? And you don't have to even have a conversation anymore to invite someone to church. You can just say, yeah, just come. It's going to be awesome. Algonquin College. Say, hey, you know what? We haven't seen each other in a long time. Let's have coffee at 10 a.m. at the Starbucks in Algonquin. Oh, is that a church over there? Let's go. You know what I mean? You don't even need to be crazy extroverted or whatever. God wants to use you. He made you that way for a reason, by the way. So you just need to figure out, okay, if I'm the one that God wants to use, how is it that he wants to use me? Here is one, is maybe one of my favorites. Because I think a lot of times what we can think is, man, God, I haven't been called into like full-time ministry. This is for a lot of church people, okay? I haven't been called into full-time ministry. I haven't been really called to be a pastor. So, I mean, I'm just going to come to church, but I don't know if it can be used by you or anything. This is the thing. If pastors only preach to pastors, then it would go nowhere. Because everyone at my work is saved. Except the jury's still out on Chris, though. But I mean, I'm just kidding. I love you. But you know what I mean? Actually, Ephesians 4 says that God has given gifts of pastor, apostle, evangelist, preacher, and prophet, I think is the other one, if I remember it correctly, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. In other words, what it means is God's not just said, hey, you know, these people have a career and these people have a calling. He's actually said that your calling to love people, your calling to be the ones to bring Jesus into everyday life is worked out in that exact area. So you come to church to be equipped to go out and reach people, to know what to say, to have an encouragement, to go, oh, yeah, I heard this message. You should listen to it, right? It is our job as everyday ordinary people to go and, as Jesus said, be the salt of the earth. Notice it, one thing about salt, okay? This is just how my brain works. I just think, like, salt, what is that? And then I dive in and whatever. And then I first think, was Jesus talking about that movie with Angelina Jolie? And I realized, no, he obviously wasn't because it wasn't made. So he must be talking about actual salt. Well, what is salt? Salt, back in the day, was obviously used to flavor stuff, but it was also used to preserve stuff. But salt is not something that you want a lot of in one spot, right? Not for a long time. If you have ever eaten a pretzel and gotten a huge crystal salt, it's like, ooh, that's gross, okay? Salt's something that you scatter. So in other words, God's saying, I want to scatter you throughout the whole earth. I want to scatter you into different workplaces, into different departments, into different families, into different schools, into different jobs. And I want you in each and every single place, I want you to come up close and impact people up close. Season each conversation with grace. Season each conversation with acceptance. Season each conversation with encouragement. Walking into work going, hey, you look really great today. It's like, wow, thank you. Like, you never know what God could use. But he's called us to be salt, to impact people. Like that. What a crazy thought that he's actually not just called a few of us, he's called all of us. And here's the thing I want to say. When it comes to, because a lot of times I think the battle on the inside is between career and calling. I've got this career, but I don't know if I don't think there's ever meant to be a battle. I think God has said your calling is who you are in every sphere of life. Your career is maybe what you're working out. And don't get me wrong, obviously we need people. We need great business leaders just dominating their space. We need doctors and all sorts of people doing what they do best, but bringing Jesus along the journey. And it doesn't have to be weird. I'm not talking about Bible hitting people over the head and saying like, repent or whatever. I just mean, just be aware. If like, what would it look like if you walked in tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning and said, you know what? I'm the one that God wants to use. What would it look like? Would you have a different awareness of your surroundings? Maybe would you see people a little bit differently? Would you be maybe more quick to offer encouragement than to, you know, snap at someone at work? Would you be maybe more inclined to start a conversation with someone that you don't normally start a conversation with in the lunchroom where you see them sitting off in the corner every day and maybe you go over to them and say, hey, how are you? You know what I mean? What would it look like if we realized that we're the ones in every sphere of life? Here's what I want to say. Your calling may be what you do, but your destiny is who you do it for. And ultimately, God has not said, I've just called you to be a doctor and that's it. He's called you to love people first and foremost. He's called you to build his church, which is people, by the way. And sure, God could do it without us. I mean, obviously, he said, I will build my church. So it's like, you know, he could sing worship music to himself. He could set up chairs to himself if he wanted to. But he doesn't want to. He wants to use people because he loves people. So why couldn't he use you? Why couldn't he use you? Even if, you know what I mean? Even if you've only been a Christian, like I said, for like 3 weeks, he could still use you. And if we got a revelation that we are the ones, that God is not waiting for anybody else, he's just simply said, I want to use you. Right where you are, exactly what you're doing, I've placed you there for a reason, for a purpose. Wouldn't that make every day a little bit better? Wouldn't that make it easier on the hard days to get up and go to a workplace or go to school when it's tough in exam season, or maybe to go through life maybe even not knowing what you're going to do for work, but just realize that God has a purpose for you, that you may not know what the future is going to hold, but you definitely know who holds it. And so in that regard, you can have faith and you can trust that God's going to use you. God's going to do something. That he can use you on the bus of all places. Like, my goodness. It's crazy places, you know, those crazy people on the bus. But you never know what God could do. What if you walked around realizing I'm the one that God wants to use? What if you walked around realizing that you're the one that God wants to bless? How would that change how you walk around life? What if you went towards opportunity and said, I'm the one you're looking for? Yeah, that's right. God wants good things for me, so I'm going to receive it. Not just I'm the one who's going to do something about it, but I'm the one that God's going to do something through and, you know, God's going to bless. I wonder how this mentality of realizing that our calling is to be the ones to bring Jesus to the world, I wonder how that would affect our everyday lives. How would it affect? And put it in your context, obviously. I don't know everyone's story. I don't know, you know, everyone's situation, but I do know that God does. And I definitely know that he has you there for a reason, for a purpose. Here's how I know this. Okay, Romans 12. Basically, what I'm trying to say is that our everyday life ought to be underpinned with a mission, and that's the mission of Jesus. And Romans 12 says it so eloquently. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, and then he goes on to qualify. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life sleeping. I'm just going to use that. I'm like, oh, man, hallelujah. I'm going to worship you, Lord, you know? And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't become, this is what I want to highlight, don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. In other words, don't become so well-adjusted that you just start going with the crowd and aimlessly going through life. Realize that you have a purpose. Realize that God has a call on your life, that he wants you to do something great. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to do great things. Don't become so well-adjusted to the culture that you fit in without even knowing it. Maybe you fit in and you just become negative without even knowing it. Maybe you fit in and just become apathetic without even knowing it. That's not the kind of life that God's called you to. He's called you to a life of abundance, of passion, of loving life, of being excited about the next thing, of faith, of expectancy, knowing that there's more on the other side of what it is right now. Don't become so well adjusted to the culture that you fit in without even knowing it. Watch this. It says, instead, fix your attention on God. That's the practical way. In every single moment, if we just simply fix our attention on God, which is pretty easy, by the way, you can literally just walk in and say, okay, God, show me what you want to show me today. Help, you know, if you don't know what else to say. Fix your attention on God, and watch this. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to his level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. Our everyday lives are meant to be underpinned with the mission of Jesus. The mission that says that God loves ordinary people and he can use ordinary people. And maybe I'm the one who needs to stand for truth in wherever it is. Maybe I'm the one who needs to stand for hope. Maybe I'm the one who needs to bring the message of God's love and grace to my family members who've never heard it. Maybe I'm the one who needs to start posting on my Facebook and say, hey, church was great today. And just make that your first thing. You never know. I've heard so many stories of what God has done simply through Facebook posts. That's why I say he created it, okay? Maybe he didn't, but he can definitely use it. He can definitely use it. Even just those types of things. Imagine what God could do if you just started to go, yeah, I'm going to be the one to stand up. I'm not going to be ashamed of this call that God has put on my life. I'm going to do something in my city. I'm not going to sit idly by and watch things go down. I'm not going to sit by as the world starts to, you know, go to hell in a handbasket. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to love people. I'm going to get involved in church. I'm going to step out. I'm going to encourage. I'm going to pray for people. I'm going to be the one to do something because Jesus has already made a way for that. So, as we begin to wrap up here, I say begin because I still have 900 more points. It's going to be great. Be here for a while. I want to give you 5 ways that you can live your everyday, ordinary life like we just talked about when you realize that you're the one. Okay? So the first one is this. You can write these down. You can live with a sense that God didn't get it wrong. Live with a sense that God didn't get it wrong. Ephesians 2:20 says, God is building a home. And he's using us all. Irrespective of how we got here, he's using us all in what he's building. He's using us all. That God didn't get it wrong. You weren't born into the family that you were born into by accident. You weren't here by accident. You weren't in this church by accident. You're not in this city by accident. You're not in the job that you're in by accident. God is using us all. He's using us all in what he's building. God didn't get it wrong. He didn't give you the gifts and talents that you have by accident. He's like, oh, man, I made them good at administration. Gabriel, you got to remind me next time. Shoot. Oh, man, they're so creative. Shoot, I messed that one up. You know, like pouring in a little too much creativity and it's like, whatever. God didn't get it wrong. He didn't get it wrong. What a revelation that is, that God didn't get it wrong in choosing you. He didn't get it wrong in saving you. He didn't get it wrong in loving you. God didn't get it wrong. I love this passage in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1 verse 8 says this. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed of this testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. So this is Paul the apostle talking, okay? He's writing a letter to this guy named Timothy, okay? And he currently is in jail at the time that he's writing this. He says, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. Watch this. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. That is the qualifier. God has not saved you and called you according to anything you've done, but to his own purpose and his own grace. I wonder what could happen. What could day-to-day life start to be for you if you realize that there is a purpose? And it's not a purpose that will be, you know, fulfilled tomorrow or the next day. It's a right now, right here purpose that God has something on your life. You have been saved and you have been called. You are the one. The second way that we can live when we realize that we're the one, that God can use us, is you can live with a sense that even the small is significant. Even the small is significant. As I mentioned before, Jesus gives this example of salt. Salt is something that is small, but it's powerful. It flavors a lot and it does a lot. That means to me, that even something as small as a text message, even something as small as an invite, even something as small as an encouragement, as small as a prayer that no one will ever hear, that God can use in powerful, powerful ways. The other thing that's really interesting about this is, back in the day, salt was used as a way to keep things from, is a preservative. From rotting. In other words, God is saying, I want you to preserve the way that I do things, to bring health, to not let the ways of the world corrode and get at you. I want you to be the ones that are actually going to stand for truth. I want you to be the ones to carry out this good, incredible, crazy gospel into the world. I want you to be the ones. And even the smallest things are significant. You know, So my wife and I lead a connect group, which, by the way, if you're not in a connect group, huge plug, they are absolutely the best, all right? Sundays are incredible as well, but connect groups is where it's like you know, life close up, because it's a smaller group of people and there's usually food involved. So again, if you're like me, food will get you there. But we're really there for community, not food, okay? But anyways, we run the Discovery, the New Believers Connect Group. And it has been such an incredible, honestly, incredible last semester. We've had an amazing group hosted at Travis and Heather Wing's house. Big plug for them. They're awesome. But the last night, so it was the last night of Connect Groups, and, you know, it was Tuesday, and Tuesdays for me sometimes are a little crazy, because, like, I have Mondays off, so the first day of the week, so I'm scrambling, trying to get my stuff in order, and trying to, you know, think of everything, and do all this different stuff, and I had a pretty busy day, and then I jump in the car, we're headed to Connect Group, and me and my wife have this big fight, you know, it's just marriage fight, and I'm just like, you're always right, and she's like, I'm always right, you know, anyways, it's true, and I was just like, I'm so sorry, you know, anyways, just funny, but we had this big fight, and I'm like, oh man, like, here we are, like, we're going to Connect Groups, and we're getting each other's face, and I'm driving aggressively because that's what I do, because I'm super emotional like that. And my wife's like, babe, slow down, you're gonna kill us. I was like, oh yeah, my bad. You know, so we get to Connect Group, we go in, we're a little bit later than I hoped for, and we walk in, and you know, no one's really there yet, and my wife's just like, babe, I really think that we got to do prophetic words tonight. We got to write down some words for people. I feel like God wants to say something. I'm like, oh babe, really, like, do we have to, like, does it have to be right now? Obviously she's the more spiritual one. You know, I'm like, I don't feel like it. I really don't feel like it. I don't feel like I can do that right now. I'm not really in the spiritual mood, you know? Like, I kissed you, the Holy Spirit left, you know? So if you weren't here last week, you don't get that joke, okay? It's a joke. It's all good. But anyway, she's like, I really feel like we have to do it. So I was like, all right, fine. So we grabbed some paper, we grabbed some pens, we went into the car, and we sat there, and I turned some Bethel music on. The Holy Spirit came back. It was great. And I just sat there, and I was like, okay. I'm like, all right, God, now would be a good time to speak to me if you have something. And I just felt like the smallest, like, softest, most subtle whisper of this passage that we just read in 2 Timothy, a few verses before. And I said, okay, sweet. So I started writing it out. And as I'm writing more and more, I'm like, okay, now what? He's like, this. I was like, okay, sweet, whatever. It wasn't like this big spiritual moment, to be perfectly honest with you. It was just the first thing that popped into my mind. I was like, all right, well, I'll write that and pray that it works, you know? Worst case scenario, just go on your YouVersion app and find the verse of a day. I'm like, this is God's word for you, you know? That's what I do. Confession. But so we wrote it a bunch of them, okay? And my wife's furiously writing away and whatever, and we get them all. And at the end of a Connect Group, we throw them into my hat, and we jumble them all up, and we pass it out around the room. And honestly, I can't even tell you how incredible it was, because each and every single word, each and every single little piece of paper with a little encouragement and a little verse on it landed in the right spot. There was people who were, you know, facing off with fear, and they got a word that says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, and blah, 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 and start weeping. There's someone who was working through some family situations, and they got a word that says, God sets the lonely in families, and he wants to restore, and I'm sitting there watching him like, yeah, I meant to do that. Like, yeah, totally. You know what I mean? And I'm like, this is like the smallest thing. It took us like 12 minutes. And I'm sitting there watching God use it. And I just had to say, God, you know what? Thank you so much for letting me be part of that. Because I definitely, in and of myself, I was not like ready to go. I wasn't like, yeah, I'm the man of power. Like, nothing like that. I just simply said, you know what, God, I'm available. This is a small thing. And I say this just to give you a practical story from my own life of just something so small that God can use. He could use a text message, by the way. You never know. How incredible is it that even in the small things that don't feel spiritual, that God can still use them? And it's in the smallest, like, moments, the smallest thoughts even in your mind of like, oh, I was just thinking about so-and-so. Maybe I should send them a message. Those things so often are God using you. What could happen if we just started to pay attention to the small, seemingly insignificant? Because here's the thing. Yes, you can clap. And actually, music team, come on up here. We need some spiritual vibes. But for real, though, it might seem insignificant to you, but in God's eyes, it's totally different. He's like, I'm going to use that. I'm going to take that, and I'm going to speak something loud and clear. What could your life look like if you realized and lived with a sense that even the small can be significant? The next thing I want to encourage you with is this. Number three, you can live with a sense that God could do something at any moment. God could do something at any moment. Anyone know John Levi's? Where is he? Is he around here? He's back there. John Levi's. Shout out. You're the best. Okay, one of the craziest stories I love. John is an absolute legend, in case you don't know. He's on our web team, and he just furiously codes everything. I don't even understand it, but it's crazy. He's like, website built. It's wild. But I remember the story a few years ago. John, it was on Christmas Eve, we were telling everyone to invite people to Christmas Eve, and a few hours before the service, John, I guess, just gets this inkling and says, you know what, I'm going to reach out to an old buddy of mine who I knew back in the day when, you know, I wasn't exactly doing the greatest things in the world. I knew this guy, and I'm going to reach out and see if he wants to come to church. So he gives him a call or sends him a message. I don't know exactly, correct me if I'm wrong, John, but he reaches out and decides to show up at their house and says, hey, I think you should come to Christmas Eve service. And the story goes that it's a married couple, that the wife's like doing her hair, like she's like dyeing her hair, and she's like, I don't think we can go, but John's here and whatever. Anyways, long story short, they end up coming to church. They end up coming to Christmas Eve service. Pastor Caleb preaches the gospel. They get saved, and now they're still in our church. It's Hope and Sean, by the way. And now they're expecting a little child who is now also going to be raised in the church. And all simply, by the way, Hope, that's Matthew is a great name, just in case you're wondering. But for real, simply from a small moment of an invite, I'm just gonna show up to their house and see what happens. Small. At any moment. It was just a moment, and God used it, and now look what he's done. And a whole family, the trajectory of a whole family has changed. It's crazy what can happen. So my second last one, number four, you can live with a sense that you carry the name of Jesus. Matthew 10 says this, Jesus sent out his 12 disciples, his 12 harvest hands out with this charge. Don't begin by traveling to some far off place to convert unbelievers. Don't begin by traveling to some far off place. In other words, start here. Don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people, right here in the neighborhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick. Raise the dead. Touch the untouchables. Kick out the demons. You have been treated generously, so live generously. Don't think that you need to put on some fundraising campaign before you start. You don't actually need a lot of equipment. You are the equipment. You don't need, extra Bible verses. You don't need all these amenities and accoutrements and all these different things. You don't need it. God is just saying, I want to use you. You are enough. Because Christ is in you, therefore you're enough. You're now the equipment that God's going to use to reach the world. You don't need a lot of equipment. You are the equipment. And all that you need is to keep, all you need to keep going, is 3 meals a day. So travel light. This is Jesus sending out the disciples and saying, listen, I'm going to use you. And don't worry about going far and, you know, doing crazy things. You don't need to be Justin Bieber's pastor to be used by God. You can be used by God even in your own neighborhood, to the people who live beside you, to your family members, to your kids. What would happen if you just simply said, you know what? I carry the name of Jesus. God has given me his name. So I walk into a situation not from a place of defeat, not from a place of victim, but a place of victory. So I can walk into even a financial situation that seems dark and go, you know what? God's a provider. He gave me his name as a promise. You know, the word Christian, by the way, it literally means like little Christ, little Christ follower. So even in the name, by identifying yourself as a follower of Jesus, as a Christian, you're saying, Jesus has given me his name. And with his name comes power. With his name comes healing. With his name comes hope. Not because we did anything, but because God simply gave it to us. So go and realize that you carry his name. And the last thing I want to encourage you with is when you know that you are the one that God can use, you can live with a sense that you're the one because you're not the only one. What I mean is you're the one that God wants to use because you're not the only one that God wants to reach. That there are people on the other side. This is what we got to understand as a church. We got to realize that this journey of faith, while it is about obviously us and God loves us and he is for us and he wants to bless us, he's also about everybody else. So we got to realize that it's about us and it's not about us all at the same time. We have to go into the world and reach people. How are they going to hear? You know, Paul in the book of Romans says, how are they going to know if someone doesn't preach to them? And how is someone going to preach to them if someone doesn't go to them? I really believe that that is our call. Our call is to go to people, to bring the name of Jesus with us wherever we go, to use the small moments, the insignificant moments, whatever moment, any opportunity. It could be that maybe you're sitting in a restaurant and God has something to say to your server. It could be that you keep showing up to Starbucks and seeing the same barista over and over and maybe just say, God, do you want to say something to them? I keep seeing this guy everywhere. It could be that God wants to use you and your family to raise your kids and to say, you know what? We're going to be the ones that are going to set a new culture in our family. Maybe you come from a family where, you know, church and faith and God really isn't the norm. But maybe you could say, you know what, I'm going to be the one to establish that. And you never know what God could do. About a year and a half ago, my grandmother passed away. And I loved my grandmother, and she was absolutely an amazing woman. And I remember going to her funeral, and the pastor got up, and they had known my grandmother like growing up, and not just, you know, because obviously I'm a grandkid, so I obviously didn't know a lot of her life. And to me, she was just an incredibly sweet woman. She was generous and kind, and I actually found out that she was the first Christian, the first believer in her family. And that not only was her, but she actually, you know, brought her husband along the journey, and he got saved, and then decided, hey, we're going to be the ones who are going to raise our kids in the church. And so she raised, you know, her kids in the church, and she started to say, hey, this is who we are. We're faith people. We're church people. We're Jesus people. We're generous people. And as a result, that exact same faith was transferred into my parents, and they said, hey, we're going to do the same thing with you. You know what? This is who we are. We follow God. We love God. God has a plan for us. And as a result, now I'm here 3 generations later, not realizing that what she did by simply saying, I'm going to be the one, has now affected generations of people. I wonder for you, it reminds me of Timothy, because Paul says to Timothy that there was a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice and now dwells in you. What could be the generational impact of you? Maybe you're a single parent going, how am I going to do this? God has graced you for it, to bring your kids along the journey, to bring them in and show them who God is, and they're going to go on. And you know what? Obviously, I don't have kids, so I can't speak to that exactly and say I know what it's like, but I do know that God has something for you. Bring your family along the journey. Step up and say, you know what? I'm going to bring my family to church. We're going to serve together. We're going to, you know, my 5-year-old kid's going to give people high fives on the way in. Show them what it's like. Decide and maybe say, hey, listen, I'm the one who's going to model it. Don't let Facebook teach, you know, your kids or whoever how to live their life. Let it be you. And realizing that they have a purpose just as much as you have a purpose. And they want to just like, imagine what could happen. But if we just simply got a hold of this reality that we're the one that God wants to use, because we're not the only one that he wants to reach. But there's people, there's hundreds of thousands of people in our own city that need to know. They need to know that God loves them. They need to know that there's hope beyond their circumstance. They need to know that there's healing for brokenness. They need to know that there's more to the world than just waking up and eating and going to work. That there's purpose in every day, and that there's a God in heaven who loves them. So I want to encourage you to remember and to realize that you're the one. This week, this next whole season, just carry that revelation, that is your calling, that you are the one that God wants to use. And we'll see church blow up. See it happen. See us be filling the balcony before you even know it. See us go to 4 morning services. See us be in the freaking, whatever it's called now, CTC, Scotiabank Place, Correll Center, whatever it is, fill that place out just simply because a whole bunch of people got a revelation that we're the ones that God wants to use. Come on, is anybody with me this morning?
Thank you for joining us today. To find out more about My Church, including locations and service times, visit our website. And if you'd like to support the ministry of My Church financially, you can do so by following the giving link at livelove.ca. Thank you for partnering with us. We pray this message has blessed and encouraged you.